Testing.
Sorry, too close. Great ring. Good morning. Welcome to church, everybody. Good morning. My name is Casey Combs-Luker. I serve our church as, I actually just started Spirit Play, helping out with that. So, yay! I've been a member here since Easter. And we'll just go through some of the, everyone is invited to stay following the worship service for fellowship, conversations, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just behind these doors. If you're a newcomer here, we extend a special welcome to you. Do I see any name tags? Would you raise your hand so we can wave you? Good morning, welcome. If you'll fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and put it in the offering plate, or give it to an usher, we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know what's going on, the programs and activities here at church. And if you have children with you here today, they're invited to attend our religious education program during the service. When the children leave for classes later in service, they're welcome to go with them. We do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. Of course, they're welcome to stay here as well. If you would like to learn more about this church and about Unitarian Universalism, there is an information rack in our fellowship hall where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. Of course, we encourage you to speak with members to learn more about our church and encourage you to seek out and share with us in this beloved community. And now I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet. And now I invite you to come to the come to the microphone for a short announcement for the good of the church.
Good morning. I'm Juliet Crone-Willis. I'm the acting religious education coordinator. We have quite a few things going on today. For the preschool through kindergarten age, we've got Spirit Play, which is a Montessori-based classroom. For the first through fifth graders, we have today is a social service Sunday, and so they're going to be working on a project with Riverbend Reentry, helping prepare personal care kits for prisoners who have recently been released. The youth group is meeting today, and let's see. This evening, from 6:30 to 8:30, we have our parent orientation for the program called Our Whole Lives, which is a comprehensive sexuality program. If you have a sixth through ninth grader, and I haven't contacted you, come and talk to me, and we can talk about getting them in the program. I'll let you, if you want to talk about the youth thing. I think that's it. I think I've covered everything. All right, welcome. Good morning.
I'm Sandy Shaner. For those of you who follow your calendars, it's almost October, which means it's almost November. And November 1st is our Day of the Dead fundraiser. And so you've got a whole month to start thinking about what kind of baskets or things you would like to contribute for the silent auction. It's one of our most fun parts of the night, I think. So think about it. We've had baskets that were full of snacks. We've had baskets that were full of booze. We've had baskets that were a combination. So whatever you'd like to bring, I'm sure that we'll have bids on it and it'll contribute to the income for the church. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tracy Howe-Koch, and you'll notice that there's some really delicious food out in that area.
and it's in solidarity with Haitian families because we're doing a fundraiser. So please, if you are able to donate some money, we've pledged $250, which adds one garden in Haiti as they're rebuilding their country after the devastating earthquakes, and it gives them a whole lot of food independence and sovereignty. I take checks. You may make them out to UUSC and give it to me, or actually, if I'm not here because I play in a quintet and I have to leave, Juliet will also take them, and she just talked, so you know who she is. But please enjoy the food, because all of it is either from farmers markets or our congregation's gardens. So it's yummy, and it's local, and it's fresh, and it's exactly what Haiti needs. Thank you.
I'm going to take up residency here for a minute. My name is Sarah Lazars, and first, there are a couple of volunteer opportunities. The first on the calendar is October 12th. Our church is going to be on the Alton House Tour, and we're in need of people to host. I've got a couple people interested in doing that, but all that involves is just being here and answering questions and telling people where the bathroom is and things like that. Also, that day, October 12th, we also are providing light snacks for the people who are on the tour. So if you can't be here, but you would like to contribute, cookies, crackers, cheese, veggie tray, something for the tour goers, so that they like us. And maybe some of them will come to church here. I don't know. Seems like good advertising to me. Another opportunity for volunteering is coming up in November. I believe it's November 5th. But don't quote me on the date. It's a Saturday, and it's another work day in the Kensington Academy neighborhood in North St. Louis, which we've had two work days there already, beginning of the summer and middle of the summer, which was very hot. This one won't be as hot, so if that was holding you back before, please come and talk to me. There's brush cutting, weeding, kind of outdoor work that is needing to be done in the neighborhood, and this is in conjunction with all of the other UU churches in the area, but mostly First Unitarian of St. Louis, because this neighborhood is right near their congregation. What else? I think that's it, but I'll be back. Okay.
Hello, I'm Sayer. I have just two quick announcements here. The first one is we're going to be selling tickets for the Day of the Dead celebration that Sandy was just talking about very soon. Probably the weekend of the 18th, we'll have them available. So you can take the tickets with you and sell them to your friends and your neighbors and your postal delivery person, all sorts of folks. Everybody's welcome. It's one of our largest fundraisers of the year because we only have two, really, the yard sale and this. So we're encouraging as much participation as possible. $20 adult tickets includes food, drink, fabulousness, and $10 for youth tickets includes food, drink, and fabulousness. So, and let me know if you would need childcare because we're gonna provide some sort of cooperative childcare, and that price will be determined on how many mamas or papas bring their babies. Number two, we have a social justice opportunity here in our church. We are supporting this person right to the left of me, Spiral, get her house ready for the winter. It needs a great deal of work. We have a fantastic plan. We are gonna pass the hat because we need some dough, we need some drywall, we need drywall screws, we need some paint, we need some good things. We already have a sponsored toilet, which was very exciting, but Gene. So there's lots of opportunities. We're gonna pass the hat, you can give us some dough. Skill level is not needed, although we would love some skilled labor. If you know how to hold a paintbrush, you are welcome to come join us. Also, there's some folks doing food. I think Sandy and Dee, are you all coordinating the food? Yeah, so there's lots of ways to get involved and spread the love for a social justice opportunity right in our church on the weekend of the 17th of October, 17th, 18th, and 19th. There's a lot of information on Facebook or corner me after church. Thank you.
That was very thorough. I don't have a lot to add, but I'll be around after church if anyone has any questions or wants to talk to me about the whole thing. Yay.
I have three announcements. One sort of related to the last topic, which is a member of ours, Dolores Ely, is having some particular struggles at the moment. We're going to provide some assistance with her bills, and we're needed about $150. Some of that will come from the discretionary fund, but if you would like to add to the discretionary fund to help with that, please let me know, and we will do that. Second, today at 11:50, I will be leading a workshop on youth groups, youth development, youth leadership. And when I say youth, I mean high school age and sometimes middle school age. This is a great opportunity if you're a parent, you're going to be a parent of a teenager, or you're currently a parent of a teenager. It's great for anybody who's working on coming of age, OWL, or any of the youth-related programs, or if you just want to learn a little more or see how Sunshine teaches, this is a great opportunity to do so. The third thing is that the worship, my job as interim minister, for those of you who don't know, I'm here for a two-year contract. I come to you pre-fired. I end in a couple of years. One of my jobs is observation. That observation phase is starting to come to a close, which means if I'm going to make changes, they're going to start happening soon. This is going to be a moment for a lot of you. So please bear with me. Know that it's normal. It's okay. The biggest places you'll see that, of course, is in worship. So the first big change I'm making is that starting on October 12th, we will no longer have my announcements spoken from the microphone. We will have a book in which you can write your announcements, or in which you can email me your announcement, and it will be read from the pulpit by me, the liturgist, or whoever's responsible that day. This is an effort to work towards brevity, and it's also an effort to recognize that our introverts are not going to come up here and give announcements even if they're leading things. And so we want to make sure we get announcements from everyone, not just the folks who are most outspoken. We love you, outspoken people. We need you. But you know, we want to make sure that we're a little bit equitable in this. So know that that's a coming change. If there's an announcement you feel like you absolutely have to make during worship, that has to be a conversation that's had with me at least Thursday prior to the service in which you want to make the announcement. In addition, the worship committee has voted to change how we're doing worship, and liturgist in particular. And so beginning probably January, we will have our first official worship associates in the pulpit. Worship associate is a little bit bigger responsibility. Actually, it's a lot bigger responsibility than liturgist. It will be an application process in which we will select six people who will learn about worship, who will help run the worship services on Sunday, will co-create them with a minister, and will preach during the summer. So if you think you might be interested in something like that, it's an 8 to 9 Sundays a year commitment plus preaching a sermon, and then once a month meetings. There's kind of a limit, and there's also a limit of 2 years of service. So if that's something you're interested in, talk to me. And are there worship committee members, please stand. People who are currently on the worship committee. Okay, if you have questions, these are folks to talk to as well. All right, and with that, that concludes this morning's announcements.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitudes or celebrations you bring with you to church this morning. And remember, there will be time to share concerns and sorrows in just a moment. I wish I had a cricket noise.
Cricket, cricket.
Well, hopefully you all felt joyful and grateful this week. And I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows and concerns you bring with you to church this morning.
Part two of my residency here at the microphone. for those of you who are not on Facebook, I posted some information about a family in my school district who lost their house to a fire almost a week ago. Both parents are in very critical condition in St. Louis, and the outlook is bad for both of them. There are three children in this family. The oldest child I had last year as a student. The youngest is severely autistic. So if you, I know we're asking for a lot of money today, but if you have a dollar to give me, I'll take it and put it in our collection area that we have at school. On the first day that we got the announcement, our school alone raised $350 for the family. So we've had a lot of help from the community, but if there's any spare change in your pocket, I'll take it. Also, there's some health concerns in my family. My mother and my aunt are both having biopsies for two different things this week, and Jamie's going to be having an MRI on Thursday. So if you could keep them in your thoughts, this would be very great. Thanks.
May the gratitudes and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all. And may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts. A burden shared becomes a load lightened. The prelude begins our worship service as Addison lights our chalice. Call to worship today is by David Breeden. We unite in our differences in background and belief. We unite with gratitude and hope. Hope for a world of differences. Hope for a world that honors differences. We unite in community with gratitude for difference. Let us worship together. We're now sing hymn number 1000 in your teal hymnal, Morning Has Come.
Please rise as your spirits and bodies aloft.
Stay risen for the doxology. Seated.
and sunshine. I just want to sit and be quiet. Leave me alone. This is a story about a porcupine. Now, somebody tell me what a porcupine looks like.
Prickly,
spiky, yeah, exactly, right? It's got long quills on it that if, you know, it pokes you, you bleed. They're kind of dangerous that way. But they're also kind of cute in an odd sort of way. Well, this is about a porcupine named Fluffy. Now, when Mr. and Mrs. Porcupine had their very first child, they were delighted. But they had to decide on a name. Should they call him Lance? Nah, Lance sounded too fierce. Should they call him Needle Rooser? Nah, Needle Rooser was too long. Should they call him Spike? Nah, Spike was too common. Should they call him Prickles? Or Pokey? Or Quillian? Then together, you like that one, Quillian, okay. Then together they had an idea. Let's call him Fluffy, they said. It's such a pretty name, Fluffy. But soon there came a time when Fluffy began to doubt whether he was Fluffy at all. He first became suspicious when he backed into a door and stuck to it fast. That was not a very Fluffy thing to do. He was even more convinced when he accidentally slept on his back and poked holes in his mattress with his quills, a very unfluffy thing to do. Then he tried to carry an umbrella, and he knew the truth for sure as the raindrops dripped through the umbrella. Fluffy definitely wasn't. So he decided he'd just become fluffier. I know, clouds are fluffy, I'll be a cloud. And so he climbed up a tree and tried to hang up in the top, but he just couldn't stay up there. He fell down. I know, pillows are fluffy, I'll be a pillow. But when his mother sat on him, she was not pleased. Ugh. He tried soaking in a bubble bath for a while, for about 45 minutes, but he did not become fluffy at all. He became soggy. He tried whipped cream. He even put a little bit on each quill. It was not easy, and it took more than half a day. But this did not make him fluffy either. They should have named me Gooey, he sighed. He ate a lot of fluffy marshmallows. He rolled around in shaving cream and feathers. What a mess. He even tried to become a bunny once. But the truth remained, Fluffy wasn't. One afternoon, Fluffy set out for a walk, trying to think of other ways to become fluffy. Before long, he came across a very large rhinoceros. What does a rhinoceros look like? Ah, somebody did this. Yeah, big horn, big thing, right? Grrr, said the rhinoceros, I'm going to give you a rough time. Fluffy didn't know what a rough time was, but he didn't like the sound of it at all. What is your name, small prickly thing? Asked the rhinoceros unkindly. Fluffy, said Fluffy. The rhinoceros smiled. Then he giggled. Then he laughed out loud. He rolled on the ground, and he jiggled, and he slapped his knees, and he roared with laughter. Roar for laughter. Do it. A porcupine named Fluffy, howled the rhinoceros. Fluffy was embarrassed, but he tried to be polite. And what is your name, he said. I can't say it, giggled the rhinoceros. Hubert, suggested Fluffy. Oh, help, I just can't say it. I'm laughing so hard, said the rhinoceros. Harold? Or maybe Herman? Asked Fluffy. No, gasped the rhinoceros. Hippo! Hippo. A rhinoceros named Hippo. Fluffy smiled. Then he giggled. And then he laughed out loud. He jiggled and slapped his knees and howled with laughter. A rhinoceros named Hippo, said Fluffy. A porcupine named Fluffy and a rhinoceros named Hippo. It was almost more than they could bear. Hippo and Fluffy rolled on the ground giggling and laughing until tears came to their eyes. At last, they lay exhausted on the ground. From that time on, they were best friends. And Fluffy didn't mind being Fluffy anymore, even though he wasn't. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we have tended to sing our children out to the song Go Now in Peace. The person who wrote this song has made it very clear that she wants people to sing Love of God. I know that is not comfortable for everyone here, so we are debating whether we change this song or not. If you have a strong opinion about that, speak to the worship folks or to me. We'll try experimenting with some other songs. But for this week, we're going to sing it as the writer of this hymn would like. And before I forget, I want to say anybody 16 or over can be a worship associate. So if you are a teenager, 16 or over, and want to do that, you can also apply for that position. With that, we will sing our children and our teachers on to their classes.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere you may go. Go now in peace, go now in peace.
Also sing it very differently than anywhere I've ever lived. I'm going to find out why that is.
The offering is a sacrament of the free church. What we mean by that is that we believe it is a blessing to be able to govern and support our religious community ourselves, to make possible by our generosity everything we dream of and do to live out our shared values. Every week we lift up the spiritual value of generosity by taking an offering for the ministries of this church. Our plate, then, is, as it's passed among us, becomes filled with the evidence of that generosity. It is our harvest, gathered every week for what most nourishes us.
Every time I hear that song, I can only hear the Muppets singing it, for those who know that version. I might have joined in the offertory blessing, which is up there at some point. Yes. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings.
Our reading today, the words of Rita Nakashima Brock. Interstitial refers to the place in between, which are real spaces, like the strong connective tissue between organs in the body that link the parts. This interstitiality is a form of integrity. Integrity has to do with entireness or having no part taken away.
I invite you now into a time of meditation, contemplation, or prayer, as is your own personal spiritual practice. I invite you to take a deep breath in and out. Now I invite you to take a deep breath in so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. And one more time. In and out. I invite you to take notice of your surroundings, the sounds, the smells, the feeling of your body in the pew, the bench, or the chair. I invite you to take notice of your own body and how you feel. I invite you to take particular attention to those parts of your body that are in the in-between places. Your knees, your ankles, your wrists, your elbows, the places where bone meet bone, ligament. They may be in pain or not. I invite you to simply be present here and now. In this day, we offer our presence, our whole beings, our loving minds and thoughtful hearts, to all those who are in need of care and support, to a family affected by a fire, and to those who may be lost, to the uncertainty and trial that that brings, to the light of love and support from this community and so many other communities, that they may find healing and wholeness, hope and strength to continue. For those within our own congregation facing struggles, for those with health issues, with mental health, those struggling to figure out how they might make it day to day, and for all those in Alton, in Illinois, Missouri, throughout the world, who struggle with illness, with fear and uncertainty of what may come, of whether they will have enough to make do. In a world held by fear of all of the things that are going on, ISIS and war, Ebola, and all the things that come through the news, racism, sexism, homophobia, difference, violence of fundamentalism all throughout the world, of all religion and ideology. May we remember it has been this difficult before and it will be again, that it is never forever, that this too shall pass, that we as communities are enough to face this day and to bring about change. Let us not fall into the false sense that we can't handle it. May we not feel overwhelmed. May we know abundance and faith and strength in each other, and in the capacity of humanity and the earth to survive insurmountable odds time and again. May we take hope in children and youth and young adults who are saying no more and rising for change so that they may have a better future. May we support them in their good work. May we help them know that they are enough. May we all do the something that we can do. I invite you now into a time of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own personal practice.
And as you come back into this place, I invite you to take a deep breath in and out. And one more time in and out. Through the work of our hands, our hearts, and our minds, may it be so. I invite you to stretch out a little bit. And we're going to change it to an entirely different kind of meditation. Let It Be a Dance. Does folks know that song? Let It Be a Dance, number 311. Please rise as your spirits and bodies allow.
And that the mountains surrounding it were part of the foothills of that massive mountain. All of the surrounding rock tilt toward Tucson, which is part of what supports that hypothesis. If you travel west from Tucson, you arrive at one of the most spectacular places in the world, called Gates Pass. Traveling along the roadway, you wouldn't know what you're about to see. You drive up, 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 turn one curve, and the next thing you know, you are driving along a sheer cliff that goes down about 100 feet and then lands in flat desert that goes out for hundreds of miles. You can see forever, it seems. Every evening at sunset, people from around the world gather at Gaze Pass. They climb the rocks or they simply stand at the visitor's lookout and watch a sunset. A sight of glorious reds, oranges, blues, purples, and every shade you can imagine. Often dotted with clouds of amazing magnitude and hue. The most amazing moments are that of twilight. The sun gone, and yet the colors remain. The time that authors report fairies or the thinning of veils into other worlds as possible is in this twilight. It is a sacred and peaceful time. If you go during the monsoon season, you can smell mesquite on the wind. The vast silence of miles of desert blowing into the pass and onto a city preparing for the night. This is an interstitial space, a place existing between day and night. There are many interstitial spaces in our worlds. Perhaps the ones we know best are around age. An infant is conceived and is at once the mother's body and at once not. In this weird interstitial space between being an independent being and being completely part of mother. That infant is born and is neither that mother anymore, but also not completely separated from, and not a toddler. Toddlers not quite ready for child age things, but enough to ask why that you know that they're not an infant anymore. Teenagers caught in between being children and adulthood. Young adults considered by our society, at least, to not have the wisdom yet to be full adults in some way. Middle-aged adults fearing the great elderism coming and yet not quite adults anymore, or at least in their own minds. Elders facing the reality that death will come if they are very lucky and yet still full of life. We are constantly in these in-between places, these interstitial times of our lives, where we are not quite this and we are not quite that. We are always in a constant process of becoming. That is interstitial space. I have a friend who likes to say, yeah, this is the wrist, but what is this part called? It's her favorite part. It doesn't have a name, but it's an interstitial space on our body, right? I think they call this the crook of the arm, is that right? You all can talk to me, it's okay. Is this the crook of the arm? Huh? Ah, and then we have the medical professionals in the room. Okay. What's this called? Doesn't have a name. All right. No fancy name for that one. Okay, so you get the idea. There are these in-between places that we often don't think about because they're part of a whole, but they are real places where life exists. And they often hold things together. Without the twilight, there is no night. Without the twilight, there is no day. On a beach, at what point does the ocean end and the land begin? Because the sand is filled with ocean water, and the sand rolls out to the sea constantly. Interstitial places. Places that are magical both and, where things come together and they're not just this or that. They are all together one. Reverend Dr. Rita Nakashima Brock writes of these interstitial spaces being real places, and she needs to make this assertion because too often we live in an either-or world, one that expects to make hard and fast choices so that we all may feel comfortable. Either you are this or you are that. Reverend Dr. Brock is a living example of someone whose life and body live in interstitial space. That is, she is Japanese and white American, who grew up in the South and the West of the United States, while also traveling to Japan throughout her life. Worlds that are often treated in our societal mythology and ethos as somehow separate and divisible, and yet many reside in places of both and, where all of that is together. What I find powerful in her message is that by defining interstitial space as real space, there is a claim for integrity, wholeness, authenticity, and legitimacy. It holds that all of us are possible. All of us are real, whether we live in those in-between places or not. Dr. Ada Maria Sazi Diaz, in her work, innovative work on Mujerista theology, titled In La Lucha, describes the experience of life, living a life of identity in that interstitial space. Born in Cuba, she moved to New York as a teenager. And she describes living a struggle between these two places, never fully Cuban and never fully American. She described being perceived as Cuban in the United States and American in Cuba. Neither community fully prepared to accept her wholeness as one person. Her body existed in an interstitial space between worlds. As she continued her research in Mujerista theology, and for those who don't know, Mujerista is a more specific version of feminist theology. There's feminist, womanist, and Mujerista. Womanist is African-American women. Mujerista is Latino, Hispanic, Cubana, and women from pretty much south of the United States. So as she continued her research in Mujerista theology, she met others who lived in these in-between spaces and began to describe the words of everyday Latina, Hispanic, Cubana women in a God of both and nature, or even all and nature. Now, I should pause because there are humanists among us, myself included, some atheists. Too often, divinity is treated as an all or nothing game in which someone can say, my God is the only real God. As Unitarian Universalists, we have moved far away from this. We have many here today who were hurt by religious communities. They had God forced upon them, or a certain ideal of God forced upon them. What we now call in this day and age, spiritual abuse. So painful was this experience that even the mention of God can be painful for them to hear. And if that is true for you, know I hear you. Still, others here find that they simply define the word God as they wish to see and understand divinity in their own unique way. Perhaps as a being on high, perhaps as the sum total of all existence in the universe. Some see it as a sacred energy binding and connecting all. Some would say the force from Star Wars. Whatever God means to you is what it means. For surely, that kind of a concept is so beyond our common knowledge that no one has the right to define it. Now, as a natural humanist, I do not believe in God as such. Yet it was through the study of divinity that I discovered some of the most powerful concepts for understanding how to improve and reimagine humanity, human relationships, and the world. One such place is from a Jewish philosopher of the 20th century named Immanuel Levinas. He talks about an inherent allergy to otherness, to people who are different, and how that seems to pervade through all of existence, all of humanity. In his book, Totality and Infinity, he writes this: metaphysics, transcendence, the welcoming of the other by the same, of the other by me, is concretely produced as calling into question of the same by the other. That is, as the ethics that accomplishes the critical essence of knowledge. And as critique precedes dogmatism, metaphysics precedes ontology. It is, therefore, to receive from the other beyond the capacity of I, which means exactly to have an idea of infinity. But this also means to be taught. The relationship with the other, or the big C conversation, is a non-allergic reaction, an ethical relation. But inasmuch as it is welcomed, this conversation is a teaching. Now, do not feel like you had absolutely no sense to make of anything I just said. I'm going to elaborate. If you understood, great. If you didn't, no worries. It took me almost a semester to be able to read that and make any kind of sense out of it. What it really says is this. Essentially, we are all inherently different. That's it. We're just different from each other, period. We are other to one another, not completely the same. Casey and I do not have the same life experience, and so when I talk to her, I will put my own assumptions on what she says, whether that's what she meant or not. If I listen deeply and truly to Casey, not in trying to make what she says fit into my paradigm or into my narrative, but truly hear her from her perspective, that is where divinity lives. It lives in the space between us, where we truly hear each other, not from our own paradigm, but from the other person's paradigm. For loving us, that is infinity, or what some call God. Think about that a minute. You've had those moments when you've been chatting with someone and you suddenly realize you had no idea what they were talking about until now, and you really see it from their perspective, not just your own limited view. Have folks had that experience? For loving us, that's where God resides. And for God, for loving us, God essentially just means infinity. It means allness or ultimacy. The conversation that occurs between the other, between that person, is holy in and of itself. That conversation is healing. It's a bridge-building place and allows for the wholeness of all who participate in it. We move beyond an allergy to differences, to assumptions about what each other thinks, in such ways that it might challenge our own assumptions to a greater sense of unity, of diversity that helps us see a more whole cosmos. Another fine example of this was in a conversation in college with a friend of mine. She was teaching me Dutch, and for many months, she'd, at the end of the night, say, "Well, slaap lekker." Anybody know slaap lekker? Any Dutch speakers in the room? Occasionally, I come across one or two. Okay. A little. Gotcha, yes. And so, slaap lekker, she always, I always interpreted as sleep well, which is fine. That was fine. Until one day she sat down and really explained the word lekker. Now, I want you to think about your most favorite food you absolutely love. I want you to imagine biting into that piece of food. And there's a moment after you take a bite, a feeling in your tongue that's just pleasure-filled. You know what I'm talking about, that moment? Everybody got that? That's lekker. The Dutch have a word for that feeling. Lekker. So you might, for example, I'm a lover of chocolate, and a particularly good chocolate, that feeling of, lekker, right? Well, slaap lekker means to sleep with that feeling in mind. So much better than sleep well. Understanding the paradigm difference opened my world to a whole new way of understanding, not just my paradigm, but a shared paradigm. That space between us, where we are completely different from one another, is interstitial space. There are many ways to respond to interstitial space. As Unitarian Universalists, we do not run the risk of outright exclusion so much as we do the need to be right in our own personal thinking. Does that sound right? We often get attached to, I want to be right and in the know and the person who knows the stuff. I think all people get into that. And what happens in fundamentalism is it becomes an extreme where everybody should then think the way I think. But the hyper-individualism that too frequently exists within our denomination can prevent conversation. It's a pitfall to be aware of. We want the freedom of thought and deed, absolutely. But we are also a religious faith that believes that interdependence matters. That's our seventh principle. That we cannot live without the food of this earth. We cannot live without the air we breathe. We cannot live without other people in our lives. We need both independence and interdependence. And a philosophy of interstitiality asks us to let both of those be true. Independence and interdependence. To allow our individual freedom to stand and yet be prepared to be transformed by our encounters with individuals completely different from ourselves. Truthfully, this is the direction our future society is taking. Youth and young adults today live in a world of interstitial spaces. More have experience with cultures and people different from their own families than has been true in the past. And we have many multiracial and multicultural youth, young adults, and adults who embody that space of in-betweenness, who, unlike so many who have come to this country before, are not forced to assimilate and let go of the entirety of their identity to maintain their future security. In other words, the United States of 100 years, 20 years ago, or even today, requires assimilation into the white middle-class culture that has been the norm. Today, people of diversity have the opportunity to live into that diversity as whole beings. And we still have a long way to go. Fundamentalism of thought and belief holds strong in the United States and throughout the world. A fear of change and transformation, of being unsettled by difference, has taken hold. We see it in the rhetoric of politicians, in the rigid rules of the academy, on television, and all throughout our society. It permeates everything. Now, we have done well within this religion in understanding that we are all one, and that is important. We all smile in the same language. We need not think alike to love alike, but we have much in common. Now, this is important. There is an important step beyond that, however, that asks us to bear witness to our differences, to learn and be in interstitial spaces, in those in-between places where we can hear one another for who we are and not who we think the other is. These are real places, and in those places, ingenuity, moral imagination, authenticity, integrity, and wholeness abound. They light up life. One thing about places like Cates Pass in Tucson, there is an unstated connection between the people who gather there at that twilight time, a recognition that those who have gathered have witnessed a moment of miraculousness that will never again exist in the same way. That moment is gone and only experienced by those there gathered. The people who gather in that time become a mini community, different strangers, and yet part of a sacred space, a space unique in all of existence. That essence, that feeling of something beyond ourselves existing in that both-andness, all-andness, carries us through the night and through our days. So may we live in those in-between places. May we listen into the betweenness between you and me, you and you, and us and them. May we become aware of those in-between places in our lives and in the lives of those around us. May we be open to the wisdom that rests there and to the power of wholeness available to us all when we are open to the allness of everything. May it be so. I invite you now to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. Actually, no, hold that thought. Everybody grab a gray hymnal, closest one to you. Everyone needs a pencil. Open to hymn number 121. We're going to make an approved change to our hymnal. Just as I am insistent about singing God when the person who wrote the hymn wants us to sing God, I'm also open to the notion that when we have permission from artists to change things, we change them. This hymn is from the books of Isaiah and Amos and is a matter of translation. And so we have permission to change one section, which, as your genderqueer transgender minister, is important to me. You will see in the chorus, it says, "Brothers and sisters." Do you see it?
in your gray hymnal. Find brothers and sisters. It's on the second page, second line, I believe. Mark out brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, whatever it is. Mark it out, draw a line through it, and put in people together. Write in people together. So instead of brothers and sisters, we'll sing people together. And like I said, we have permission from the artist. Yeah, all that's the same. You know, again, it's biblical language. Remember, anointed by God as you see it. I tend to think of it as like Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, anointing me. Oh, if only. You know, my cat anoints me regularly. Whatever you want to think of when you think of it. Truthfully. All right, and once you've done that, please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land. You just stuck with it. Good job. I invite you to notice where the chandelier is and face towards each other. And my introverts are like, what are you doing to me? This is our sacred community. Notice the interstitial spaces between you. Know that you are different and one all at once, both and help the world know it too. For we need our differences. And we need our connections. May you not be all bound up as an individual, nor totally bound up as interdependent. May you know that together, all is possible in our hands. And so I invite you to repeat after me, yes to life. Yes to life. Louder. Yes to life. One more time.
Yes to life.
May it be so.